Welcome to Cheap Astronomy's Fantastic Physics Formulas, read by Barry Howarth. Today's formula is about gravity, and the formula reads as follows. F equals G times big M times little m, all divided by the radius squared, where that radius is the distance of separation between the centres of the two masses, little m and big M. F stands for the force of gravitational attraction, and G is our universe's gravitational constant. This is Newton's law of universal gravitation, and it's pretty useful for many purposes, although no one considers it to be universal anymore, preferring Einstein's theory of general relativity to provide a more exact representation of gravity. Mind you, Einstein's theory may have its limits as well. For example, at the event horizon of a black hole. Nonetheless, general relativity more effectively explains that the vector of motion of one massive body is naturally bent towards another massive body, because all massive bodies naturally bend space-time. So, for an Einsteinian purist, gravity is not a force. Indeed, it's not really anything. What we call gravity is just the effect of space-time curvature influencing the trajectory of things. But, until Einstein came along, Newton's universal gravitation equation proved very versatile, and it remains an excellent way to approximate the effects of gravity today. It only begins to fail in close enough proximity to very massive objects. For example, it can't quite manage to model the orbit of Mercury around the Sun. And as for black holes, well, just forget it. In its day, though, Newton's law of universal gravitation was quite something, providing a rigorous mathematical framework to not only model how apples fell from trees, but also how planets orbited stars. And despite the enormous breakthrough that this represented back in 1692, Newton, to his credit, had an inkling that something wasn't quite right when he said, "That one body may act upon another at a distance, through a vacuum, without the mediation of anything else, is to me so great an absurdity." So, Newton was clearly troubled by the idea that gravity was an invisible force that somehow acted at a distance through a vacuum, but he had no other explanation to offer, since he had no idea that space-time went all bendy in the presence of mass. If it were somehow possible to introduce Newton to Einstein, Newton might have picked up the idea of general relativity after a quick chat, and if Galileo had then entered the room, he probably would have joined in with all the forehead slapping too, provided someone was there to translate everything into Italian. To his credit, Galileo, back in the 1500s, had shown that completely different masses would all fall at the same rate of acceleration, if they had dropped from the same height on Earth. From Newton's formula, the apparent gravitational force between two masses is inversely proportional to the distance that separates them, squared, so that halving the distance between two objects quadruples the apparent force of attraction between them. There is no limit how far that apparent force extends, so at any point in space there will be some measurable degree of gravitational force. This underlies the concept of a gravitational field. In Newtonian physics, you would think of an extended field of variable force, while in Einsteinian physics, it's not really a field per se, just the underlying space-time continuum, and no forces are involved. It's also interesting that Newton's formula has the constant G, a universal conversion ratio that allows you to determine gravitational attraction when measured as the product of two masses divided by the square of the distance between them. That same G is also part of Einstein's field equations for general relativity, where it represents the proportional relationship between space-time curvature and energy density, remembering that mass and energy have an E equals mc squared equivalence. G, and indeed, whiz.